Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 11, titled King Indra Annihilates the Demons. We'll start by reading the chapter summary. As described in this chapter, the great saint Narada Muni, being very compassionate to the demons who had been killed by the demigods, forbade the demigods to continue killing. Then Shukracharya, by his mystic power, renewed the lives of all the demons. Having been graced by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demigods began fighting the demons again with renewed energy. King Indra released his thunderbolt against Bali, and when Bali fell, his friend Jambasura attacked Indra, who then cut off Jambasura's head with his thunderbolt. When Narada Muni learned that Jambasura had been killed, he informed Jambasura's relatives, Namuchi, Bala, and Paka, who then went to the battlefield and attacked the demigods. Indra, king of heaven, severed the heads of Bala and Paka and released the weapon known as Kulisha, the thunderbolt, against Namuchi's shoulder. The thunderbolt, however, returned unsuccessful, and thus Indra became morose. At that time, an unseen voice came from the sky. The voice declared, "A dry or wet weapon cannot kill Namuchi." Hearing this voice, Indra began to think of how Namuchi could be killed. He then thought of foam, which is neither moist nor dry. Using a weapon of foam, he was able to kill Namuchi. Thus Indra and the other demigods killed many demons. Then at the request of Lord Brahma, Narada went to the demigods and forbade them to kill the demons any longer. All the demigods then returned to their abodes. Following the instructions of Narada, whatever demons remained alive on the battlefield took Bali Maharaj to Asta Mountain. There, by the touch of Shukracharya's hand, Bali Maharaj regained his senses and consciousness, and those demons whose heads and bodies had not been completely lost were brought back to life by the mystic power of Shukracharya. Now we will read several verses in the beginning of the chapter that have no purports. So we will just read the English until we come to the verse with a purport, or we will also chant the Sanskrit. So starting with text 1. Shukadev Goswami said, "Thereafter, by the supreme grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Hari, all the demigods headed by Indra and Vayu were brought back to life. Being enlivened, the demigods began severely beating the very same demons who had defeated them before. When the most powerful Indra became angry and took his thunderbolt in hand to kill Maharaj Bali, the demons began lamenting, 'Alas, alas.' Sober and tolerant and well equipped with paraphernalia for fighting, Bali Maharaj moved before Indra on the great battlefield. King Indra, who always carries the thunderbolt in his hand, rebuked Bali Maharaj as follows. Indra said, 'O rascal, as a cheater sometimes binds the eyes of a child and takes away his possessions, you were trying to defeat us by displaying some mystic power, although you know that we are the masters of all such mystic powers. Now we're coming to text 5, and we will read the Sanskrit for this verse. That's what's on the board, right?
Arurukshanti maya bir Utsisripshanti ye devam Tandasyan vidyanom yajan Purvasmakcha padadadaha Arurukshanti.
Persons who desire to come to the upper planetary systems.
Maya bihi.
By so-called mystic power or material advancement of science.
Utsis ripshanti.
Or want to be liberated by such false attempts.
Yea,
such persons who
divam,
the higher planetary system, known as Svargaloka,
tan,
such rogues and ruffians,
dasyan,
such thieves.
Vidunomi,
I force to go down.
Ajan,
rascals.
Purvasmat,
previous.
Cha,
also.
Padat,
from the position.
Adaha,
downward. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Those fools and rascals who want to ascend to the upper planetary system by mystic power or mechanical means, or who endeavor to cross even the upper planets and achieve the spiritual world or liberation, I cause to be sent to the lowest region of the universe. Please repeat. Those fools and rascals who want to ascend to the upper planetary system by mystic power or mechanical means, or who endeavor to cross even the upper planetary systems and achieve the spiritual world or liberation, I cause to be sent to the lowest region of the universe. Purport. There are undoubtedly different planetary systems for different persons. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 14:18,
Urdvam gachanti sattvas tataha.
Persons in the mode of goodness can go to the upper planets. Those in the mode of darkness and passion, however, are not allowed to enter the higher planets. The word divam refers to the higher planetary system known as Svargalok. Indra, king of the higher planetary system, has the power to push down any conditioned soul attempting to go from the lower to the higher planets without proper qualifications. The modern attempt to go to the moon is also an attempt by inferior men to go to Svargaloka by artificial mechanical means. This attempt cannot be successful. From this statement of Indra, it appears that anyone attempting to go to the higher planetary systems by mechanical means, which are here called Maya, is condemned to go to the hellish planets in the lower portion of the universe. To go to the higher planetary system, one needs sufficient good qualities. A sinful person situated in the mode of ignorance and addicted to drinking, meat-eating, and illicit sex will never enter the higher planets by mechanical means.
Om Jnana Timrandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshulam Militam Yenam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Sagrajatan Sahagana Ragunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Thank you. The translation one more time. Those fools and rascals who want to ascend to the upper planetary systems by mystic power or mechanical means, or who endeavor to cross even the upper planets and achieve the spiritual world or liberation, I cause to be sent to the lowest region of the universe. Hare Krishna. I'm very shy, a little embarrassed to be speaking on the Bhagavatam here in Krishna Balaram Mandir. Just by the order of my superiors, I'm trying to do this service. If somehow I manage to say something incorrect, something that offends anybody, I beg that the Vaishnavas please be merciful to me and forgive me and correct me. So in this verse, Indra is speaking to Bali Maharaj, and he's talking about who can go to the higher planetary system. If there's any attempt from someone that wants to go from a lower planetary system to a higher planetary system, there's a way of doing that, a correct way of doing that. And it's not just that anybody is allowed to do that. And the point here in the purport is that one has to be qualified. And you can't cheat. Here, specifically in the verse, it says that fools and rascals, they will try to achieve the higher planets either by some mystic process or by mechanical means. There's a book, very famous book everybody knows, Srila Prabhupada wrote, I think it's one of the early small books, called Easy Journey to Other Planets. And in this book, Srila Prabhupada explains that he says that he is writing in the 1950s or the 1960s, I'm not exactly sure, And at that time, there was a space program especially by the Americans. I think the Russians also had a space program. And at that time, there was a great attempt to travel to the moon by mechanical means. And Srila Prabhupada says here that the attempt to... He talks about a newspaper headline, "Man's First Steps on the Moon." There was a newspaper headline, "Man's First Steps on the Moon." Now, I don't know this topic so well, but what I remember is the Americans first claimed to have traveled to the moon something like the summer of 1969. So that's around the time maybe Srila Prabhupada is writing or speaking like this. And he says, and the headline says, "Man's First Steps on the Moon." And Srila Prabhupada said, "It is not the first steps on the moon." One point is that the attempt to go to the higher planetary systems is very old. It is not a new thing. The modern people, the scientists, are thinking that they have done a new achievement by going to the moon. But Srila Prabhupada says that's not true, because in the Shastra, we hear about so many old attempts to go from the moon. This Bhagavatam was spoken many thousands of years ago, and here they're talking about people trying to travel up to the higher planets. Also, he mentions from Bhagavad Gita, well, Srila Prabhupada gives as evidence this verse, "Abrahma bhuvana loka punar arvartinorjuna mamupetya tukunteya punar janma navidyate." From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death takes place, but one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth. Srila Prabhupada cites this verse to say that for all time, people have been coming and going to the different planetary systems. It's not an... And further, Srila Prabhupada says, sometimes modern people, they're thinking that we are on the cutting edge of scientific and technological progress and advancement. And we are doing incredible, unprecedented things like traveling to the moon. But what are the Hare Krishna devotees, what are they doing? They're doing something very old and very primitive and very... like not with it and not with the times. They're not clued in to the glory and the incredible advancement of modern science. So Prabhupada says people who are thinking like that are completely incorrect. And actually, if you really want to travel to the moon or to the higher planetary systems, or even beyond that, the verse is also mentioning the spiritual world or liberation, then actually it is the Hare Krishna devotees who have the highest, most advanced technology for that kind of endeavor. The point is that there is a process to go to the higher planets, and it requires a qualification. Just like if someone wants to travel in this world to a foreign country, then, generally speaking, you're going to have to go get a visa. Like this year, I remade my Indian visa, and it was such a headache. And the whole process of filling out the form on the computer was like, it drove me crazy. It was so irritating, and somehow the system, there was something really unclear about it. But without that visa, I can't come here. It's not allowed. And if someone that's going to come without the proper paperwork and the you don't have the visa, you don't have your, you know, your visa's expired, wow, good luck with that. Just like Indra, he's controlling the higher planets. He's like the immigration official. He's going to check all your paperwork. Did you get the visa? If you don't have the visa, you're not coming here. They have, serious immigration officials take you aside and question you, and he'll kick you right out. Indra says, I caused them to be sent to the lowest region of the universe. This year in 2018, we did a fair amount of international travel for preaching programs. And one of the places that we visited a couple of times was Zurich, Switzerland. Some very nice devotees there. Maybe you remember Krishna Prema Rupa Prabhu. He has given class here several times. He's the temple president. And they have a nice temple in Zurich, Switzerland. And Switzerland, like Srila Prabhupada says in many places, that the Americans, they have some piety, and therefore they have taken their birth in a country with some opulence. And I think you may be able to say a similar thing, maybe even more so, about Switzerland. Switzerland has some opulence. Everything is kind of very carefully done there. They're really into the rules and regulations. They have a very ordered society. They keep everything very, very clean. Everything is incredibly punctual. Like in India, you always joke about Indian time. That means like I came today to the Bhagavatam class 10 or 15 minutes late because the devotees asked me to do the Parikram Kirtan. Please excuse me for that. So in India, maybe that can fly sometimes, but in Switzerland, that is completely not allowed. People are unbelievably punctual. You can set your watch practically to the public transportation, when the bus will come and the tram. They keep everything incredibly clean. Their streets are very clean. The natural beauty there. And so you can say something like it has some quality of material opulence, like a kind of a heavenly quality. Not purely, of course, but to some degree. And so my wife and I, we were taking a japa walk near the Zurich temple, and we came across a bicycle rack, and there were many bicycles there, and nice bicycles. I think you can't get a nice bicycle there without paying something like 500 Swiss francs, which means like 30 to 40,000 Indian rupees. And we noticed that some of the bicycles, they were just unlocked. And there was nobody there. If someone was like a rascal, hey, you could just help yourself to one of those bicycles. But somehow, people weren't locking because they had. There's some trust in that society. There's some kind of morality that people don't steal. And when I saw that, I had a realization. I thought, I see, this is why you have to be in the mode of goodness to live on the heavenly planets. Because people that are going to steal, people that are in the lower modes of material nature, they're going to make a disturbance there. They have a nice society that's very sattvic. And so if you're not in that quality, then you're just going to disturb their whole atmosphere. Like in Switzerland, somehow they have, their atmosphere is nice. They don't have, try leaving your bicycle unlocked around here. Will anyone do that? I don't know, how long is it going to last? or like in our society of devotees, we're recommending everybody to follow the four regulative principles. And we have our society of devotees. And like, if someone will come, maybe on our temple president, on our temple premises, you know, if someone is intoxicated or eating meat or something, then hey, that's not you're not supposed to do that here. You know, first of all, our advice is you shouldn't do that. But you know, if you're not going to follow that advice, then you can't do that here. That's not the atmosphere that we're trying to create here. We have a society where we're, you know, we have devotees that are following these regulative principles. And if you're, you know, if you're going to bring this kind of tamasic energy into our society, we don't accept that. We don't want that here. You know, the chokidars are going to have to kick you out. So that's the idea of the heavenly planets. They have a higher standard of society. Their society is in the mode of goodness. Just, you know, you can imagine how they have freedom from lower modes there, freedom from the sinful things that Prabhupada is mentioning, freedom from illicit sex, freedom from drinking, from meat eating. You know, how they must have morality, how they have social codes. That's a kind of society, you know, that if you're not fit for that, then you don't belong there, and they don't want you there. Srila Prabhupada explains something about the planetary systems of the universe. This is also from Easy Journey to Other Planets. He says, according to Vedic literature, there are many planetary systems. The planetary system in which we are living is called Bhurloka. Above this planetary system is Bhuvarloka. Above that is Svarloka. The moon belongs to the Svarloka planetary system. Above Svarloka is Maharloka. Above that is Janaloka. And above this is Satyaloka. Similarly, there are lower planetary systems. Thus, there are 14 statuses of planetary systems within this universe, and the sun is the chief planet. So Srila Prabhupada says in the first verse, there are undoubtedly different planetary systems for different persons. And so, just like we see in this world, different people are in different conditions of life. Some people have a very privileged or opulent position in life. Some people have beauty, they have wealth, they have fame, they have good health, they have, you know, desirable opulences and qualities. Other people are in less fortunate positions without those things. Some people have to struggle. Some people have to suffer like anything. Ultimately, everybody has to suffer. But even in this world, there are different standards of living, different standards of life. And so similarly, in the universe, there are all different standards of life. And depending on the evolution of one's consciousness, depending on one's quality of nature, one will belong to a different place in the universe. That's the point. And so the real thing is how to elevate one's quality. But the devotees understand heaven is not the ultimate also. Heaven is a higher standard than what we have here. It's a higher standard for morality, for the mode of goodness, for religion. But it is, like Krishna says, from the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death takes place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. So while it may be seemingly desirable to go to a higher planetary system, but any system in this material world, it always has the same defect. And those defects are especially birth, death, old age, and disease. A few more points I can make. You know, it's funny that the moon landing is in this purport. I don't know why this is, but Dharmatma Prabhu has asked me to give the Bhagavatam class maybe 2 or 3 times. And the first time that I ever did it, there was also a purport talking about how we never went to the moon. Different devotees may have different angles of vision on this topic, and I don't want to stir controversy too much. At the same time, I think it's very wonderful to hear the words of our Acharya on this point about going to the moon. And so I just put together just a few conversations where Srila Prabhupada discusses this point. I'm not saying this is exhaustive. There may be more comments from Srila Prabhupada, but he does seem pretty consistent that he's always very skeptical. In the purport itself, he has written, "The attempt cannot be successful." The attempt means the attempt by people who are addicted to vices like intoxication, meat eating, and illicit sex. Even if they have a grand, advanced scientific material arrangement and spaceship, the attempt will not be successful. So he says that directly in the purport. I think he says the same in the Bhagavad Gita purports as well. Here there's a few comments. A devotee asks, "Did they actually land on the moon, Srila Prabhupada?" Srila Prabhupada says, "No, they cannot go there. What is the question of landing? They cannot go there. It is far, far away. What you calculated, 1,600,000 miles away, up the sun planet, 1,600,000 miles above the sun. According to your calculation, the sun is away from this planet by 93 million miles. And above that, 1,600,000 miles. Then you go to the moon. How is it possible?" That was a morning walk in Honolulu, Hawaii in 1975. A devotee asked, "Srila Prabhupada, when they said they went to the moon and they showed films of them landing and walking on the moon, was this all a bluff?" Srila Prabhupada says, "Yes, all laboratory work, that's all." Devotee says, "They all made it up?" Srila Prabhupada says, "Yes." That's also in Hawaii, 1975. And another conversation, a devotee says, "The demons are trying to go to the heavenly planets by building their skyscrapers higher and higher." Srila Prabhupada says, "Ravana's. Ravana's staircase for going to the heaven. He promised that, oh, what is the use of austerity? I shall make a staircase directly. You can go. It is the same. Ravana's staircase and the modern attempt to go to the moon planet, the same thing. They will never be able to go, but imagining that we shall do it. The same process, Ravana's process. For how many years are they going since 1950? The devotee says, "To the moon expedition?" Prabhupada says, "Yes, moon expedition." Devotee, "Maybe 1955. Another devotee says, 1955. A devotee says, "The first moon landing was 1961. Prabhupada says, "That is beginning. First of all, they sent dog." Laughter. Devotee says, "Space dog. Space mouse." Prabhupada says, "Huh? Space mouse." Devotee says, "Space monkey also." Prabhupada, "So since 1955 even, so 20 years, what have they done?" Devotee said, "Spent billions of dollars." Prabhupada says, "Yes, simply they have brought little dust, that's all." Devotee says, "Now they have found that the same dust is here on the earth." And Prabhupada says, "Yes, simply propaganda. They are not going. Now the Russian scientist and American scientist are combined because both of them thieves. So one thief is asking, don't expose me. I will not expose you so that our business will go on. This is the way. Let us combine together and cheat these rascals. And otherwise, if you expose me, then I will expose you. Then our business will stop. A devotee says, they are cooperating. Prabhupada, cooperating. Thief, thief's cooperation. So you can see, actually, like the American government, they tax everybody based on their income. They have sales tax. When you purchase something, there's a tax. If you own property, there's a tax. So many ways they tax the American public, and they raise, I don't know, trillions of dollars a year from the taxes. And they misspend the money in all kinds of ways. Like now in the news, there's a fight in America, the two political parties. One wants to misspend it one way, and one wants to misspend it another way, and so they're having a big fight, and they can't agree about that. So one way that they misspend the money is, I looked up how much the science program, you know, since the 50s or the 60s, they're giving hundreds of millions and billions of dollars a year to it's called NASA, the science department, to try to, you know, explore outer space. And it's so much cheating. You know, I mean, the moon thing is controversial. I don't want to, but there's, you know, even in recent times, there's been one of these head NASA people. He says, we used to have the technology to go to the moon, but we've lost that technology. The technology was destroyed, and it's very difficult to get the technology back. So can anybody believe that? Doesn't that sound insane? You know, they claim that they had the technology to do it, but they haven't gone in so many years. They haven't claimed to have gone in so many years. And now they're saying they can't go, and the American taxpayer is giving them probably like $20 billion a year. If you have $20 billion, you can do anything you want, but they can't remember how they went to the moon. Anyway, it's absurd, actually. And like Srila Prabhupada says, you know, if they really wanted to spend their money wisely, they could take those same billions of dollars and invest it in the Krishna consciousness movement. Because if you want to go to higher planetary systems, if you want to go to the moon or even beyond the moon, then actually we have the technology for that. The technology for that is to purify your consciousness. I didn't think time would run out so fast, but I'll just a few things I will read. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada has described there are the different angas of bhakti. And under the description of japa, Srila Prabhupada writes like this. This is the chapter called Further Consideration of Devotional Principles. Srila Prabhupada writes, chanting a mantra or hymn softly and slowly. Sorry. Oh. Chanting a mantra or hymn softly and slowly is called japa, and chanting the same mantra loudly is called kirtan. For example, uttering the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, very softly, only for one's own hearing, is called japa. Chanting the same mantra loudly for being heard by all others is called kirtan. The Mahamantra can be used for japa and kirtan also. When japa is practiced, it is for the personal benefit of the chanter, but when kirtan is performed, it is for the benefits of all others who may hear. In the Padma Purana, there is a statement. Listen carefully to the statement. For any person who is chanting the holy name, either softly or loudly, the paths to liberation and even heavenly happiness are at once open. In Bhagavatam, Dhruva Maharaj says, "My dear Lord, the transcendental pleasure derived by meditation upon your lotus feet, which is enjoyed by the pure devotees, cannot be approached by the transcendental pleasure derived by the impersonalists through self-realization. So how can the fruitive workers who at most can aspire to promotion to the higher heavenly planets understand you? And how can they be described as enjoying a happiness similar to the devotee's happiness?" One of the themes in the Nectar of Devotion is that the happiness of Krishna consciousness far surpasses even the happiness of liberation. And if it surpasses that happiness, then not to speak of the lower, paltry, pale happiness that's always mixed with material miseries, the happiness of material sense gratification, even on the highest planetary system. So I think I should stop there. The technology of the Krishna consciousness movement is that we can purify our consciousness, become qualified for the higher realms, even better than the mundane materialistic people who are making the artificial attempt to go to the higher planets by mechanical means. Hare Krishna. Maybe a question? Any question or comment? Yes, Prabhu? That's so true. Srila Prabhupada was ahead of his time. I didn't hear that. Again, the last part? Yes, Srila Prabhupada was ahead of his time. Although now if you look it up, you see that many people are skeptical of the moon landing, and there's a lot of good reasons to be skeptical. Of course, we have the best reason to be skeptical. Our reason is the evidence from our Shastra and from our Acharya. Yes, Prabhu? Thank you. Maybe just, there's a very nice verse and purport, completely relevant from Bhagavad Gita. Yanti deva vrata devan Prityanti Prityvrataha Bhutani Yanti Bhuteja Yanti Mad Yajshino Pimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship the ancestors go to the ancestors. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. And those who worship me will live with me. Srila Prabhupada says in his purport, if one has any desire to go to the moon, the sun, or any other planet, one can attain the desired destination by following specific Vedic principles recommended for that purpose, such as the process technically known as Darsha Paunarsami. These are vividly described in the fruitive activity portion of the Vedas, which recommends a specific worship of demigods situated on different heavenly planets. Similarly, one can attain the Pita planets by performing a specific yajna. Similarly, one can go to many ghostly planets and become a yaksha, raksha, or pisacha. Pisacha worship is called black arts or black magic. There are many men who practice this black art, and they think that it is spiritualism, but such activities are completely materialistic. Similarly, a pure devotee who worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead only achieves the planets of Vaikuntha and Krishnaloka without a doubt. It is very easy to understand through this important verse that if by simply worshiping the demigods one can achieve the heavenly planets, or by worshiping the Pitas achieve the Pita planet, or by practicing the black arts achieve the ghostly planets, why can the pure devotee not achieve the planet of Krishna or Vishnu? Unfortunately, many people have no information of these sublime planets where Krishna and Vishnu live, and because they do not know of them, they fall down. Even the impersonalists fall down from the Brahmajyoti. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore distributing sublime information to the entire human society to the effect that by simply chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can become perfect in this life and go back home, back to Godhead. Garantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jayanitai Gopremanandi.